Would you open your Bibles with me to the 14th chapter of Joshua? If you're using the Pew Bible there in front of you, the page number is page 280 in the Pew Bible. And what I'll need you to do is, once you find Joshua 14, turn in your Bibles to the 13th chapter of Numbers. And maybe put a marker, put your bulletin in the Numbers passage. That's on page 182 in your Pew Bible. We will begin in the 14th chapter of Joshua. Let me set the context for you, though. The passage in Numbers is where the people of Israel, after having been in slavery for 430 years in Egypt, have been released from that slavery, and now they are right at the promised land, that land that God has promised them. Having redeemed them from their slavery in Egypt, he has given them this land. And so the place that they are actually at is called Kadesh Barnea. We'll read about that in a moment. But in the Numbers passage, what happens is they send 12 spies out to look at the land and to find out if it's a good land. And the 12 spies come back. 10 of the 12 spies say that, oh, it's a beautiful land, it's flowing in milk and honey, but there's only one problem. There are giants in the land, and we are not able to defeat those giants. Two men, a man by the name of Caleb and a man by the name of Joshua, say, oh, yes, we can defeat these people because God is with us. He will go with us into the promised land, and he will deliver the land into our hands. Unfortunately, the majority prevails. And the majority says, no, we don't want to go against these giants. And God pronounces judgment, which is that they will wander in the wilderness. The people of Israel will wander for 40 years. And at the end of that 40 years, he will bring them back to this same place when they are now ready. Having learned to trust in God and God's purposes for their lives, they will then go into the land. And as we enter Joshua 14, they have been in conquest for 5 years after the 40 years of wandering. They've been in conquest for 5 years, and now just a few remaining lands have to be conquered. And Caleb asks for one of those lands that his tribe or his family can be the one that takes it. So in Joshua 14, begin with me as we read the 6th verse. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. In other words, what Caleb had just said is, you remember 40 years ago. We spied this land out once before. And he's talking to Joshua, and he says, you remember that you and I told everybody that we were supposed to go into the land. Caleb's just sort of reminding him of that fact. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I follow the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. So how old would that make him? He's 85 years old at this point. Those of you who think that there's a time when we need to stop serving the Lord, this is a perfect illustration that there ain't no such time. This man is 85 years old. Listen to his words. Now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and for coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim, that would be the giants, that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. The Anakim were the people that the children of Israel were afraid of. With great fortified cities, perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Joshua blessed him. And he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. You know, think about God's purpose for your life. You've heard that statement that God has a plan for our lives. Do you really believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? Because if you and I do, if we do believe that, then it seems to me one of the most important questions is, okay, well, how do I achieve that purpose? See, what we have a tendency to do when we think of God's purpose and His plan for our lives, what we normally, at least I do anyway, how we normally might define that, we would say, well, you know, God's purpose for my life is that I marry such and such, or, you know, that I have a certain career as such and such, or I live in a certain home or neighborhood, or, you know, I go to school, and this is God's plan. We define God's plan pretty much as it relates to you and I. If you look at this text, the story of Caleb and how a man achieved God's purpose in his life, you and I will see not only that God has a plan for your life, not only does He have a plan for my life, but that plan oftentimes extends far beyond the me, myself, and I that you and I normally defined it. Let me show you what I mean. In order for you and I to believe that God has a purpose for our life, in order for us to achieve that purpose, the first thing that you and I have to do is believe that God has a promised land for us. God has a promised land for us. Look at the ninth verse of chapter 14. Tell me if you think that Caleb would say that God had a promised land for him. The ninth verse says this: So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. In my mind, it's 45 years since God spoke those words to Caleb through Moses. In Caleb's mind, there is no question whatsoever that God has a purpose for his life, that he has a promised land. He's been wandering in the wilderness with the people of Israel for some 40 years. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not saying at all that when God has a purpose for our lives and that God wants to achieve that purpose for our lives, that everything in your life is just going to go hunky-dory, that you aren't going to have problems. I mean, think about Caleb. Think about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, literally the desert, for 40 years. Do you think they had problems? You think there are times when they got tired of eating manna? You think they got tired of times of wandering in the desert, not having food, not having this, not having that? Not having a place that they could call home? Yet in spite of the fact that there were wanderings in the wilderness and there were difficulties in that wilderness, this man never came to a place where he said, you know what? God has forgotten me. He never came to a place where he said, you know what? I'm getting up there. I'm 60 or I'm 55 or I'm 75. He never got to a place where he said, you know, I think God's just forgotten about that word that he gave me 40 years ago. And what motivation would you say that Caleb would have, or what motivation would you and I have to believe that God has a purpose, God has a plan, and He wants to achieve that purpose in your life? What motivation do you think Caleb had to believe that that was true? What would you say would be his motivation? Go back 40 years and Caleb is with the 12 spies. And they've just gone into the, quote, promised land. And what's happened is they see these giants in the land. And now Caleb comes back and he says, hey, we can go on this land. And 10 spies say they can't. What motivation, tell me, what motivation do you think Caleb would have had to have said, this land God has given to us, let's go into the land because we can defeat the giants? What would be the motivation? God promised to Moses. Okay, what else? What motivation would Caleb have had to believe that God had a promise, had a plan, and would deliver? He brought them out of slavery. They were in Egypt for 430 years. God miraculously took the people out of Israel, out of slavery. And so Caleb is at a place where he is right on the promised land, the edge of the promised land. He said, you know what? Yeah, this God is going to do this. Caleb had a motivation to believe that God had a purpose and a plan for his life. Now, what motivation do you and I have to believe that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives? Hello? Think about it. You know, think about it, guys. We put this cross up. This cross stays here. And here's what can happen to us. The cross stays here, and we come in the room, and we sing, and we pray, and we preach, and we worship, and the cross is there all the time, and we talk about Jesus dying for our sins. We talk about the blood of Jesus, and we talk about grace. You know what can happen to us? We can get to a place where we just sort of forget the significance of what Jesus Christ has really done so that you and I will respond to Him in obedience, so that we will have the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to literally start a brand new day every day. We have a motivation to believe that God has a plan for us. I can't imagine God's plan would be this. He saves us from our sins. He's able to create relationship with us now because He has forgiven us, and then not to use us to advance His kingdom. God has a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life, but it's a lot bigger than just you. God's purpose for your life is a purpose that extends far beyond you. People all around you, God wants to influence, God wants to bring to Himself through you. Think of Caleb. What's happening in Numbers 14 and in Joshua 14 goes far beyond what God wants to do to an 85-year-old man to let him have a home. God's plan extended and had influence far beyond Caleb. And God wants to do exactly the same thing through you. And I'll give you another evidence. You got a motivation. That's Jesus dying on the cross. And here's the evidence. Every single person, no exceptions. No exceptions. Every single person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ has been given spiritual gifts by God. The purpose of those spiritual gifts are for you to influence other people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm preaching today. That's a spiritual gift. God didn't give me that gift 20 or so years ago so that I could just say, oh, look how what a great preacher I am. God gave me the gift to proclaim His Word for other people's benefit. That's the nature of spiritual gifts. It's totally different than talents, although talents can be used to advance God's kingdom. You know, if I'm strong or if I'm fast, if I can throw a football, that really pretty much just sort of benefits me. It's not a spiritual gift, okay? But when it comes to spiritual gifts, that is, they're acts of God through the person of the Holy Spirit to influence people all around you to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. What I'm saying to us is this. God has got a purpose. God's got a plan for you. But it extends far beyond who you are. It influences all the people around you. And it's the same thing for this church. God expects us to advance the kingdom of God all around this church. Wherever my world is, God wants me to accomplish His plan, His purposes, through my spiritual gifts. If he didn't want to do it that way, he never would have given us spiritual gifts. He gave us spiritual gifts so that you can use those to help other people to know Christ and to know God in their lives. Secondly, but see, you got to believe about that promised land. If you don't believe there's a promised land out there, that God has a purpose and a plan for you, then how are we ever going to achieve it? You might say, well, but you know, Pastor Kip, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. Well, I didn't know what mine were either. Doesn't mean that God didn't give them to me. God gives them to us, and what He does is He leads us to discover them as we use them to advance His kingdom. Okay, next. To achieve God's purpose in my life requires this, that I no longer define myself by my past slaveries, past failures, or even betrayals, but rather by the vision God wants to give me about the future. I want to read from you from Numbers 14, verse 24. This is right after the Lord has said, He's heard the people say they're not going into the promised land, and first he tells Moses he's going to start all over. Moses convinces him not to do that, and notice what God says in the 24th verse about his servant Caleb. Here's what he says. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possessions of it. Notice those first words. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit. In order for you to walk into the promised land that God has for you, or either in order for you to help someone walk into their promised land, you know what's got to happen, guys? We got to come to understand and see ourselves not based on who we have always been or who we were or who someone has hurt us and caused us to be, but who God is making us into based on the vision He has for us. All right, let me ask you a question. Let's go back to the first time there at Kadesh Barnea. How old did we say Caleb was? 40. How long had he been a slave in Egypt? 40 years. So this man has been a slave in Egypt for 40 years. Do you think the slavery in Egypt in 40 years would impact who he was as a human being at that moment? I can guarantee you, you are not going to be a slave for 40 years and not be impacted by the fact that you are slavery. I mean, think of the way our past influences us. Whether we grow up in a good home or a bad home, what happens is our past impacts who we are. Well, how is it that this man comes to the promised land and he says, you know what, we can defeat these giants. Here's a man that's been in slavery for 40 years and everybody's told him what to do, told him that he's not strong enough to defeat anybody. They've beaten him, they've whipped him, and all of a sudden now he can change and say, you know what, we can go into this promised land. Suppose you were a salesman and you've been a salesman for 40 years. You got the most wonderful product, but you've not had a sale in 40 years. Not a single sale in 40 years. And on your 41st birthday, you got a sales call. Do you think that you're going to make the sale? No. Well, what changes Caleb so that the Word says he has a different spirit? Let me explain something. You know, the only way we have a different spirit is when the precious Spirit of God touches a heart. That's not about education. That's not about going to school. That is a supernatural, holy work of God. The text said, did you see my servant Caleb? He has a different spirit. He has given his heart all to me, and he follows me with his whole heart. See, Jesus changes hearts. What Caleb is doing? Caleb is seeing tomorrow's because God, this God is so big that he realizes that he's got a promised land for me. And so because Caleb believes and his heart's been changed and touched and God has shown him this vision, he comes up to his 41st birthday and he says, we're going into the promised land. You want to achieve God's purpose in your life, you got to realize that God will make you new. He has the power to do that. He wants to do that. He needs you and I to participate with Him. The Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, the past is behind. All things are made new in Jesus. The man has a different spirit because of the way he's thinking. He's not thinking based on the way these slave masters taught him. He's thinking on the basis of Jesus Christ now through our lens, Jehovah God through His lens. We've experienced the power of grace. Even more so than Caleb. And we are still trapped in bondage by our minds to limit the power of God and the will of God and the purpose and provision of God because we can't think big enough to see the promised land He's got out there for us. When it comes to sin, it's no different there either. We say, well, you know, I've always done it. I can't seem to be free of it. And I just nothing ever changes. And so it's like we give ourselves permission to stay in bondage. Thirdly, to achieve God's purpose in my life requires this, to believe that one person's obedience to God matters in the world. To believe that one person's obedience to God matters in the world. Verse 10 of Joshua 14, and now behold, the Lord has let me live. Just as He spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. One man's obedience makes a difference. You are the one man. If you allow yourself to believe that your obedience influences who you are, it influences the people around you, and God uses obedience to bring Himself glory and to make a difference in the world that we live in. Now let me show you. Josh, can you put that map up there now? Now it's hard for you to see this map, but let me explain it for us. This, of course, is a map of the Middle East. This right here, this color guide, is a color guide that shows the land that was allotted to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what I want you to notice is there's one tribe right here, the tribe of Judah, in the pink color. All right, now here is the land that's allotted to Judah, and here's why it matters. Wow, how'd you do that? Okay, there's the pink. You see Hebron right here? There's Bethlehem, and there's Jerusalem. You know why it's pink? Because that's the land allotted to Caleb. Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. He was of the tribe of Judah, and because he was of the tribe of Judah, and he was obedient, because Caleb was obedient. This land is pink. This land is allocated to the tribe of Judah. Now that little corner right there is where Caleb's going to go kill his giants, okay? But Caleb is actually the one, according to Numbers 34, of the tribe of Judah. What Caleb does is he apportions that land to his brothers of the tribe of Judah. Now, why is that so significant? Because, my friends, the tribe of Judah is a tribe through which Jesus Christ came from, and Jerusalem is the place where Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. And so what does that matter to you and me? I'll tell you what that matters. Caleb bought the land through his obedience for you and I to be saved. This cross, it was in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ bought our salvation. He died on a cross in Jerusalem. He died on that cross in Jerusalem because this man obeyed. Do you see what I mean when I say that your obedience to God, my obedience to God, us believing that God has a promised land out there for us, and that that promised land will impact people beyond ourselves. You see how important it is for us to believe that, to hold on to it, because if Caleb had not, I don't know who would have bought Jerusalem for us. Caleb's obedience bought it. Next. I love this part. What does it mean to bring God glory? I'm going to embarrass my son. I'm so sorry, Dave. He comes once a year, and on the Sunday he comes, I can use him as an illustration. Okay? My son brings me glory because of the man of God he is. I am proud of him. I'm proud of what he has accomplished in life. I'm even more proud of who he is in his relationship to Jesus Christ. And if you want to get me to talking and sticking my chest out like Caleb did, you let me talk about my son. Because my son brings me glory. He makes me feel like a dad. I'm proud of him. When you believe that God has a promised land for you, and that promised land extends far beyond your own boundaries to influence others in the world, and you see your life based on the vision that God's given you as opposed to all your failures and stumbles and everything else, and then He tells you what to do and you're obedient, you bring God glory. You bring God glory, and He looks down and He says, "Hey, that is my son down there. Look at what he's doing. Look at how he's obeying me. I'm feeling so much glory." Listen to how God says it in Numbers 14, verse 21. So the Lord said, He's talking about the people of Israel who don't want to go in the land. He says, so the Lord says to Moses, "I have pardoned them according to your word, Moses. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." That ain't happened yet. Now, it's going to happen one day in the future, okay? But right now, the whole earth is not filled with the glory of the Lord. But there's one little place where it was. Listen, 22 says, "Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times that have not listened to my voice," the same people that were standing right there beside Caleb, who just saw the same thing Caleb saw, who experienced the same thing Caleb experienced, but in spite of the fact that they saw what God did, they didn't obey God. 23, God says, "In shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it." It's almost as if God's saying, you know what? If you want to go to your own promised land, if you want to define it yourself without my involvement, well, I'll let you do that. You can do that if that's your choice. Now, that doesn't mean I like it, But it's your choice. It's my choice. Well, not we'll follow God into the promised land. And if you choose not to go into the promised land, then you won't experience the blessings that are in the promised land. Now, listen again. Remember, he starts by saying, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now listen to him as he takes pride in Caleb. 24, he says, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered. And his descendants shall take possession of it. What God is saying. You know what? Your obedience to me brings me glory. Just like Caleb's obedience brought me glory, so does yours. Lastly, if you want to achieve God's purpose in your life, something's necessary. It's again that 24th verse. Talks about Caleb giving his whole heart to God. Now think about it just for a moment. To Caleb, to give his whole heart to God had a certain meaning. What would it mean to you and I today? To give our whole heart to God. Give me a metaphor. Give me a picture to describe how someone might understand to give their whole heart to God. I want you just to give me something. Give me a metaphor, a picture, an illustration to define or describe someone who's given their whole heart to God. How would it look? If you want to explain that to someone, how would you explain it? Give me an illustration. Okay, Billy Graham would be an example of someone who gave his whole heart. Give me another illustration to model the fact that God wants your whole heart. Okay, to design a business around his will. All right, anybody else? How many rooms in this building? In this room? How many doors in this room? that's just me. That's okay. How many doors in this room? Six. Okay, we'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 doors. Okay, let each door represent something in your life that takes your attention away from God. You know what God wants?
Television.
Okay, television. God wants your whole life. He doesn't want three-fifths. Now, does that mean that you can't enjoy life? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Caleb was a man who had given his whole life to God, his whole heart. He's referred to 7 times in Scripture, and every single time he's referred to as a man who gave his whole heart to God. God wants our whole heart. He wants your whole life. And the evidence I would give to you this morning that this man had given his whole heart to God is found in Joshua, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. Listen to what he says. I'm going to start on the 11th because this excites me so much. He says, I am as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. You think 40 years is a long time to wait on the promises of God? I do. Listen to what he says. Now, give me this hill. Oh, that's so good, isn't it? Give me this hill. Give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the giants were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me. And I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. You know, it just seems to me something's wrong in that verse. Seems to me what it ought to say this. The Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day about the giants with the great fortified cities. The Lord will give these cities to me. You would think that would be what he would say, rather than perhaps the Lord will give the cities to me. What am I saying to us? Here's what he's just said. He says, you know what? I believe the promises of God. I believe that God's going to do exactly what he said. And so far as I'm concerned, I'm going to obey God. It's the best I understand him. I'm going to go against the giants in the land. But I'll just tell you something. I might not defeat them. That's what he's saying. Perhaps the Lord will give them to me. Perhaps. You know, he doesn't even have to. Because I know that I am going to serve my God. I'm going to obey him as best I can, no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how long I have to wait, I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to leave the consequences to him. You see, trusting God means that however it comes out, God, I'm going to trust it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Now, I'm going to tell you how I'd like it to come out, and this is how I'm going to believe you're going to come out. Don't for a moment think that Caleb has lost hope. No, it's not that at all. He believes God's going to give him his promised land, but he says, you know what, but if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. You know, Lord, this is how I ask you to make this situation work, but you know, if it doesn't, I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to obey you. I'm still going to go your way and not my own. Because you know, Lord, I've given you my whole heart. And even if life doesn't go the way I want it to go, I give it to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you do have a plan and a purpose for our lives. I thank you, Father, that that purpose extends far beyond me, myself, and I. That out of your grace and out of your mercy, you have allowed us to impact the world for you. Now, the world may never respond to the plan that we believe you've given us. We put even that in your hands. We acknowledge that you are in control and you are God. May we, Father, be a people of vision. May we be a people, Father, like Caleb, that says, regardless of our age, I will do as God leads me as best I can. If I've got breath left in my body, I'm going to serve my God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our musician.